Good morning.
Good morning.
Fresh? Awesome. There's one time I wasn't sure. Then there was this other time a speaker came and I didn't know if it was changed behind there or not. And I was like, oh, I hope he doesn't notice if it's old or not. But thanks, brother. It's fresh. So, as I said before, it's been a joy to share with you the truths that I found in the book of Habakkuk. So if you can turn to the book of Habakkuk. Today, I would like to try to finish it up. But I'm probably not going to. I only have one point that I want to focus on. And how can you finish up a book in only three messages, especially when I didn't go into too deep of detail on all that was going on in Israel and Judah at the time. Historically, with all the details and connections to the other prophets in the Old Testament books, there's just so much that you can consume and connect. An older brother about 15, 20 years ago, I think I shared this before, gave me some great advice once that I still apply today. He said, be careful how much you consume. You don't want to have spiritual indigestion. I like that advice. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 16, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. I recognize that in me, that there is only so much that I can take in. There's only so much that I can consume. Small portions. Small portions. I know our Lord Jesus Christ still speaks these words even unto his people today, that I have yet many things to say unto you. Do you think he still has a lot to say to you? And maybe he even says, but you can't bear them now. We're going to have a small portion today, only a little bit. The desire of the heart of the Lord Jesus to speak to his disciples, and yet the disciples' inability to receive in their heart all that he has to say to them. It's a spiritual issue of the ages for the church, isn't it? Always wanting to speak to his people, and yet his people have an inability to hear. The whole echo of Revelation, right? If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That's the issue of the church at times. I have many things to say, but let's see if we can just take in this one small portion of what he has to say. Our Lord Jesus goes on to say in John 16, and howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So let's pray that the Spirit would move among us this morning and guide us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you would gather us once again unto your beloved Son. And Father, you said in your word, this is my beloved Son, hear him. May we have ears to hear this morning what your Spirit has to say. Guide us, Lord, into all truth. Lord, we know that you desire to speak to us and you desire to have communion with us. And we would just simply pray that we would have hearts open to receive what you have to say. So we commit this time into your hands, however short or however long it may be. And may we not be focused on the distractions of this world or what's going on after this meeting. But Lord, may we be focused on your word, guided and directed by your Spirit, changed because we heard you speak, not because I spoke, Lord. So we commit this into your hands, trusting you to do a mighty work among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I started studying Habakkuk mainly and honestly because that's where the Lord led me, really. I have no other reason to tell you. I'm sure many of us here find ourselves in a particular book, not because it's part of our regular reading schedule or pattern, but simply because the Lord impressed you to be there. That's where you're at. You might not know exactly why you're reading that book, but by faith, you know that the Lord Jesus led you there. Habakkuk is one of those books for me. Why am I in Habakkuk? I don't read the Old Testament the way I should. But that's how the Lord works, doesn't he? He just impresses upon your heart to be somewhere, and you go there by faith and you stay there until he has something to say to you. Or you're patient and you wait. And that's what Habakkuk has been for me. And the truths that I found have been very profitable to me spiritually and practically, because there's practical truths in this book as well. But in the course of studying it, I found that there are also a couple passages in the New Testament that actually instructs us to be in the books of the Old Testament prophets. Did you know that? It's very encouraging when you receive validation from the Lord as he leads you through the word. It's very encouraging. Just listen to these couple passages. 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 and 3, it says, that you be mindful of the words that were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets. Another passage in James chapter 5, when he was encouraging them to be patient in the last days for the Lord's second coming, it says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example. These two passages instruct us to be mindful of prophets' words and the prophet's example while we're waiting for the Lord of glory to come back. So the experiences that they had are transferable to our present day experiences. Present day. So previously we considered Habakkuk's example, right? His character and his ongoing conversation with the Lord during these perilous times he was in. Parts of his character, maybe you don't remember. I'm going to refresh your memory. Because the word of God says, take my prophets as an example. As an example, their character. As an example, he had a real burden. He had a real relationship with the Lord of glory. He was ready to receive reproof. And he was ready to respond to the Lord's voice. So basically, he had ears to hear what the Holy Spirit had to say to him, didn't he? That's a good example. Even if you only remember his character from these few messages that I share from Habakkuk, it would be very profitable to you. Absolutely profitable. To take in his example during the perilous times that we're in. Do you have any examples in your life that you follow after? Some people that you try to emulate? Are they all on YouTube because they're good speakers? Are they all online because they're down south and you don't gather with them and they're just better examples because you don't have to live with them? Take the prophet as an example, his character. But we also did consider not only his character, but his words, didn't we? We looked at some of his words that the Lord gave Habakkuk to deliver to God's people. And he said, behold, his soul that is lifted up is not upright with him. But the just shall live by his faith. The words given to Habakkuk were meant for the prideful and the faithful. That was the message. And it's interesting to note that this phrase in the book of Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith, is found in three times in the New Testament. It's found in Hebrews 10. Our brother Pete shared it the week after I spoke. It's found in Galatians 3. And it's found in Romans 1. The just shall live by his faith. Emphasizing and exhorting believers to live by faith and not in their flesh or in the pride of life. The same emphasis we read, well, we looked at the exhortation in Habakkuk 2 when the Lord spoke five woes of warning to God's people that dealt with being rooted in sin, living for self and living for pleasure. And the pride of life ultimately were the issues being addressed and brought God's judgment that led them into captivity. Now, I'd like to continue. That's my little overview. Got to review the things that you've already heard. You got to review them or they will slip. Do you know where that verse is? Review it. Find it. It's in Hebrews. To take heed to the things that you've already heard, lest at any time it would slip out. I just don't want to speak so it goes in one ear and out the other. I really don't. So I'd like to continue in chapter 3 and consider Habakkuk's response to what God was going to do in the land. And when he brought judgment and his people were brought back into captivity. And we're only going to read a small portion. Just consume a little bit. Old brother told me so you didn't get spiritual indigestion. Just a little bit. If you're hungry, go home and eat some more. Isn't that what it says? If you're hungry, go home and eat. Habakkuk 3, 1 and 2. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years. Make known, in wrath, remember mercy. Pretty small portion. After Habakkuk received God's answer that he was going to judge his people and they would be brought into captivity, God made it abundantly clear that the just would live by his faith during these perilous times. Both the prideful and the faithful were going to experience the same thing in captivity, right? And Habakkuk's response, an example to me, is important to take note of. So important. He says, I have heard your speech and was afraid. I have heard your speech and was afraid. It produced a reverence, awe, and a fear in Habakkuk when God judged his people. You'll remember in Acts chapter 5, right? In the New Testament, when Ananias and Sapphira were judged when they lied to God and their heart wasn't right with them. They fell down and gave up the ghost and were carried away out of the meeting and buried. That's in the New Testament. That's not in the Old Testament. And what did it produce in the church when they heard these things? And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Great fear, reverence, when God judged Ananias and Sapphira. Here's Habakkuk seeing the judgment of God upon God's own people. And it produced in him great fear. But it also produced something else that I think it's so important to note in Habakkuk. It produced immediate prayer for revival. Immediate prayer. He says, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, remember Habakkuk's heart condition was what? He's ready to receive reproof, right? He was prepared to be judged and corrected by God. He was ready to respond to God's voice. And his response was reverence and fear. And he immediately prayed for revival. What an example. Did you show up this morning with that kind of heart condition? That you're ready to receive from the Lord, whether it's correction or not? Man, wouldn't it take my brethren, the prophets, for an example? For an example. You know, I think as believers, sometimes we overlook God's present judgment in the church. We're not really allowed to talk about present judgment. We just really overlook it. What I mean by that is we understand that in the future there will be a judgment day, right? For every human being. Those that know him will enter into glory and be with him in paradise, and those that don't know him will be eternally separated in the lake of fire. And that judgment is in the future. That's way in the future. Well, maybe not. He can come today. And then there's this other judgment, right? The future judgment seat of Christ, where every believer will appear before him to receive in his body the things, receive the things that he did in this body on the planet, whether good or bad. Both of these judgments are in the future. Both of them. And with these future judgments in view, I think we overlook the fact that there is a present judgment and present correction among God's people. I would draw your attention to where our brother took us this morning in 1 Corinthians 11. And you don't have to go there, right? Because as our brother kind of hinted at it, he didn't dare say it was, do you remember? He didn't dare say it was familiar. He didn't dare. 1 Corinthians is familiar. 1 Corinthians 11 is familiar. And in 1 Corinthians, not only is there that precious truth that's being developed that we practice every week, but Paul addresses the believers in Corinth that some were participating and practicing the precious truth in an unworthy manner. There's some sense and recognition from genuine, humble believers that none of us are really worthy, right, to be at breaking of bread, which is absolutely true. Not one of us are really worthy to be here, except for the fact that God's most precious Son came and died and shed his precious blood to bring us here. He made us worthy to be here. But then there's reality in participating unworthily at the table of the Lord. And that's absolutely true too. Absolutely true. To partake in something so precious in an unworthy manner. So it's so familiar to you, but I wonder if it causes any fear. But consider it. There's familiarity about a scripture, but does it cause a fear in you? Let me just read the familiar things. And I think this is probably the number one portion of scripture every time you go up to Camp Lilali, right? Sunday morning, a brother gets up and shares 1 Corinthians 11. Just for it. And it needs to be shared. And it needs to. But let me just read the portion about the correction. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. That's a present judgment of the Lord. Participating unworthily at breaking of bread can produce spiritually weak, sickly, and sleeping believers. Does anybody want a message about that? Can we all go home now? That's the point you wanted to make? We can pray and leave, right? What's it mean to participate unworthily? What's it mean? Well, in my understanding, in my own personal experience of being judged in this manner, is partaking and participating at breaking of bread, in the physical breaking of bread, and the lack of engagement spiritually. You break bread once a week for an hour while spiritually not being engaged at all. And that lack of engagement is because the other 167 hours in that week, in my experience, I wasn't spending any time engaging in my personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those 167 hours were spent in engaging in the pride of life, in the distractions of the world, and yet you still partake of the bread and the cup. See, you participate in religion, but neglected your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And for this cause, Many are weak, sickly, and sleep. Does that cause in you great fear, brothers and sisters? That judgment comes upon God's people. Here's Habakkuk back how many hundreds of years ago. And the judgment was coming on God's people. And immediately, great fear. An immediate prayer for revival for God's people. And here's a so familiar verse about the judgment of partaking in something so precious in an unworthy manner. And we find it familiar and it's so commonplace. Does that judgment cause great fear in you? To the point where you want to immediately pray for a revival. Habakkuk's example to me is most precious. He was ready to receive reproof. He was ready to respond to God's voice. He feared the Lord's judgment, and he immediately prayed. Let me ask you, when was the last time you heard the Lord speak to your heart to correct you, and it produced in you a reverence and a fear? An immediate prayer. The last time somebody stood up here and spoke, and you received it in your heart, and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I behaved that way. Habakkuk's example, brothers and sisters. You know, our great physician could look down at every assembly on this planet and in a moment diagnose the spiritual state of every individual believer. That's just how amazing he is. Every single believer gathered around him, he could diagnose in a moment. Healthy, weak, sickly, sleeping, healthy. I'm curious, would you want to know the diagnosis of your own heart this morning? Would you want to know what the Lord knows about you? Would you want to know? I was talking to my mom this past week, and something interesting about my mom is that she avoids going to the doctor as if the doctor has the plague. She just avoids going. She puts off her appointments because she doesn't want to be examined. She doesn't want to receive a bad bill of health. She doesn't want to be told that she has to change her lifestyle in order to be healthy. She doesn't want to go and avoids making those appointments because she already knows the truth. Would you want to know the Lord's diagnosis of your spiritual state this morning? If the Lord would just say one word to you this morning, would you want to hear what he had to say? Would you? And if you would know, would it produce in you great fear? An immediate prayer for revival. Either personally or collectively. Brothers and sisters, some of us are healthy. Some of us are spiritually healthy. Are we praying for revival in the hearts of those that aren't? Immediately praying for those who are weak and sickly and sleeping. Praying diligently, fervently. Are we praying for that? I love Habakkuk's example. I love it. It's his example. It's not mine. There's great fear because there's judgment. No, that's in the future. No, it's now. It's now, brothers and sisters. Habakkuk said, "When I heard your speech, I was afraid." What an example he is. I wonder when James and Peter wrote to be mindful of the holy prophets and what they said and their example in the last days, if they knew that good examples to follow in the last days would be few and far between. I wonder. Did they want to point back to the good examples? Because in the last days, there's going to be few and far between examples to follow. Jesus says in the last days, because iniquities abound, the love of many, what? Wax cold. Because iniquities are abounding, the love of many wax cold. Isn't it so true that because iniquities are abounding around us in the world and we see it daily, it can affect the love that's within us? The atmosphere of our heart begins to tolerate, compromise, and desensitize. And then we grow cold spiritually. That's what Jesus Christ said. That's what Jesus Christ said. That's not what I said. And then again, it's also true that if we compromise, tolerate sin in our life, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ grows cold. These are the days in which we live. They're perilous times, isn't it? It's chaotic. We live in times where it's dangerous. Habakkuk's having a conversation with the Creator in what times? Chaotic times. He's having a heart-to-heart with his heavenly Father in heavy days. He's having a dialogue with the divine one during dangerous times. Are we not in these? And do we not have great fear of the judgment that's upon the churches at times, brothers and sisters? For this cause, many are weak and sickly and sleeping. Many. In the last days, the love of many grow cold. Oh, we're the few because we're Plymouth Brethren. So we're not a part of those many. Oh, don't dupe yourself with your prideful thoughts. Don't dupe yourself. We're all prone to lose our heat and fervency for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are. I'm so glad the Lord Jesus Christ is not like us. Our brother said that at breaking of bread. Aren't you just so glad the Lord Jesus Christ isn't like us? When iniquities abound, do you think his love grows cold for you? When iniquities abound, his love does not grow cold for you and for me. It says in Romans 5, verse 20, but when sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Jesus says in Revelation 3:19, this is what Jesus says. As many as I love, oh, he loves me. He loves me. Well, if he loves you, this is the next thing he says. As many as I love, you don't know it. I chasten. I rebuke. I rebuke you. I chasten you. I love you. I'm going to rebuke you and chasten you because I love you. Because I love you. Be zealous, therefore, and sit back in your chair and do nothing. That's what it says. No, it doesn't. It says repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent. He says, as many as I love. For this cause, many are weak and sickly, and many sleep. The love of many shall wax cold. And Jesus says, as many as I love. He loves the many weak, sickly, sleeping, and cold Christians. Did you know that? He does. Because he loves me. He loves us. And he says, I have yet many things to say unto you. Do you recognize a weakness in your spiritual life? Or are you prideful and you are the strongest Christian you know? Are you? Do you recognize a coldness in your heart, brothers and sisters? Do you recognize a judgment? Habakkuk heard his speech and was afraid. We heard a message about the sovereignty of God and about fearing him. Habakkuk's conversation continues in these chaotic times. This was the point I wanted to draw out. And if it seems a little bit sharp, it's because it is. It's because it is. But on the other side of the point, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. As many as he loves. Perhaps you do recognize a weakness, an unhealthiness spiritually, or your love is growing a little bit cold for the Lord. Be encouraged by what he says in Revelation 3:20. And if you don't know the familiarity of that verse, and if you don't practice that, you better start. Because the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man or woman hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." May it be that the Spirit of Truth doesn't just guide you this morning into what he wants to say, wants you to hear from this pulpit, but he'll guide you all week, and you'll hear him knock every single day. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters, to be strengthened with all might in the inner man, because the Lord of glory loves you and desires to revive his people and strengthen us with all might as we see the day approaching. I want to eventually finish Habakkuk. I have plans, but then I start studying and I realize my plans aren't good and his are great, right? Isn't that how we should be? Habakkuk, take Habakkuk as an example this week. Take him as an example. Don't take me as an example. Most of you probably didn't even listen to half of the things I said. Don't take me as the example. Listen to what Habakkuk said. "I heard your speech, and I was afraid. Revive the work in the midst of these years. Revive my heart. Revive their heart." The Lord so desperately wants to do that. And he knocks on our heart this morning to have that communion with you this week. He's just that good, isn't he? He's altogether lovely. And as many as he loves, he rebukes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your son. Thank you so much that you continue to speak and you desire, Lord, truth in the inward parts. And you desire, Lord, to dwell in the midst, not only of a collective body, but in the midst of our own beings. Pray that, Lord, you would revive the work in the midst of these years and these chaotic times and these dry times, that you would produce a great fear in our hearts of the things that you're doing and the things that you want to do. May your spirit have free reign in our hearts today. And may our ears be open to hear what you have to say to us. Thank you for your greatness and your great love. And thank you that you're coming back soon. May we be prepared. We ask this now in Christ's name. Amen.